Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you out this morning. We're thankful for your presence. We hope and pray that the message that we have to bring to you this morning will be one of encouragement, that you will feel that it has been good to be here when we're done this morning. I, on days like today, really miss Drew, who's out of town, and he normally runs all of this equipment, and Tyler also helps out with the sound. And so while both of them are not there, I picked them all back up. So hopefully it won't be too distracting to you or me this morning, having all this stuff up here. If you were following along in John chapter 4, I would encourage you to mark your Bible there, because we are basically going to stay there this morning. We may venture for a verse or two out, but we are basically going to stay in John chapter 4 this morning. As we read John chapter 4 and try to gain or understand the context of what's going on there, we want to notice that this is a quote-unquote pit stop that Jesus is making. If you look at your heading, and again, as Mark mentioned this morning with the Psalms, as well as our New Testament Bibles, if you're looking at it, the heading for John chapter 4 may say something about Jesus goes to Galilee. So he's making a trip and heading to Galilee, but we find that it's not until verse 46 that he actually makes it to Galilee, or 44, 45, that he actually makes it to Galilee. And so most of what this is about, this trip is about, is this what we would call a pit stop in the middle. If you look at the first three verses of John chapter 4, it says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and went away again to Galilee." So that's the destination. That's the place that they are going. That's where they're trying to get to. But they make this stop along the way. I don't know how many of you had family road trips, but you may have had some sort of expression that was used by your father: get in, get out, get on. Right? You get into the restroom, you get out of the restroom, you get back in the car, and we're leaving. Right? That was the you know, time, you know, okay, we've got a certain place to be, we know where we're going, we know where we're supposed to. So the journey was not about the pit stops along the way. Now, did we all love to stop and beg our parents for something at the gas station? Probably. But it wasn't about that. Right? We didn't want to stop and be at the gas station. I don't know about you, but my parents very rarely ever got us anything anyway. Nope, as quickly as you can, you get in, you get out, and we're going to get on the road. At least that's the way we were. It's not about the pit stop. We don't stop at the gas station and say, "Y'all, come on, kids, let's go to the gas station. Look around and let's walk around the gas station and see what we can find." No, it was about getting to whatever destination you were going to, because you had a limited amount of time, probably had a limited amount of money, and so you weren't going to spend a whole lot of time, you weren't going to spend a whole lot of money looking around along the way. But I want you to notice that Jesus pauses here in Samaria, in a place called Sychar. He turns what would normally be about a three-day journey into a five-day journey. He purposefully stops here. There is a reason that he stops here. But the disciples kind of miss why he's stopping here. So if you were reading along with Bob, we see that Jesus tells them, "Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look onto the fields, for they are white with harvest." Jesus has a reason that he's stopping here, but the disciples don't get it. And so if you remember a while back, we talked about this reason that Jesus stops. In verse 4, it says he had to pass through Samaria. Now, I kind of think of it looking at the disciples missing Jesus' point in stopping here as me heading to the refrigerator. I'm telling myself again. I don't know if anybody else does this, but I open up the refrigerator. There's carrots and cucumbers and maybe some fixings to make a salad. And I shut the door and say, we have nothing to eat. No, there's stuff in there. Just not what I'm looking for. Not at all what I'm looking for. We may go through the cupboards and there may be all kinds of food, but it's not what we want. And so we miss it and we come out and we say, we don't have anything to eat. There's nothing here that I want to eat because I'm looking for something specific. And so I miss everything else that's in there. Or maybe not so much miss as ignore everything else that's in there because that's not what I want. I believe this is the issue that the disciples are having with Jesus. He said, look, open up your eyes. The harvest is white. It's ready to be picked. It's ready to be plucked. You're just looking in the wrong places. And I don't believe that their mind was on the Samaritans. And so they didn't see anything that was going on. As I mentioned earlier, a while back, we used verse 4 for one of our lessons. And he had to pass through Samaria. And we talked about why Jesus had to pass through Samaria. There was a purpose, there was a reason, but what I want to focus on today is the disciples' part of this. While Jesus had a mission, while he had a purpose, while there was a reason that he had to go through Samaria, the disciples completely missed everything. So I want to stop for a moment and look at the disciples' piece of this so that we can avoid making those same mistakes in our own lives. Let's begin by just looking at the account. Now, we won't have time probably to read everything that's going on here, but I do want to look at these verses, at least in pieces, to get the idea of what's happening here. We already talked in verses 1 through 3 about the destination. We know where he was headed. He left Judea and he was headed to Galilee. Why? Because a lot of the Pharisees found out that Jesus was gaining more disciples than John. Not that he was, again, the writer suggests, not that he was baptizing them himself. The apostles were doing that. His disciples were doing that. But he was gaining a lot of momentum. And so he feels that he needs to leave here and go to Galilee. So that's where they are headed. But in verse 4, we find that he makes this pit stop. And he mentions he had to pass through Samaria. One of the reasons that we find that he stops is in verses 6 through 8. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So we find out that not just Jesus, but everybody, they're tired, they're hungry, they need some time to rest, they need some time to recover so that they can go and finish the journey. Now again, remember, this was not hop in the car and we'll be there in a couple hours. This was a basically 3-day journey. Now going through Samaria, you could probably cut that time down a little bit. But what most everybody did was go to the east side of the Jordan, go up the east side of the Jordan, and then cross back over to avoid Samaria completely. Samaria was the fastest way to get there. But that's not the way anyone traveled. But Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, even if you did have to go through, if you were on a time constraint, the last thing you would do is stop in a city of Samaria to rest. You get through as quickly as you can. You don't look right. You don't look left. You get to the other side of it before you stop to rest. You stop before you get to it. You go through it. And then you can stop on the other side of it if you need to. But you do not stop in the middle. At least that's the way that the Jews felt. That's the way that they thought. But that's exactly what Jesus does. he's hungry. Everyone's hungry. They're tired. They're going to get some food. And so from verses 4 to 42, which we're not going to take the time to read, and we'll hit some pieces of it throughout the lesson, that's where most of the time is spent, on the pit stop, on the place where they're going to rest and recharge. John spends most of his time writing about this account versus just getting to Samaria. If you look through some of the other examples of Jesus traveling, basically he leaves one place and the writer picks up when he gets there. We don't know a whole lot about the journey, but here, the important piece of information is about this stop. So he meets this woman in Sychar, and he asks, or she asks him, "Why are you talking to me?" She's a Samaritan woman, right? We already know that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. That's what she expresses, why she's saying, when he says, "Draw me some water." She says, "Hold on." She doesn't say, "I'll get you some," or "get it yourself." She says, "Why are you talking to me? What makes you think you can even talk to me? I'm a Samaritan, you're a Jew. I'm a woman, you're a man." Both things were basically no-nos in the culture, in the society. A man would not stop to talk to a woman, nor would a Jew stop to talk to a Samaritan. They're both looking for the same thing. And Jesus knows that. And so it begins this discussion. Jesus is looking for something to drink to refresh him for the rest of his journey. She's looking for water. That's what she came to the well to do. She has a bucket there. But it begins this discussion about living water. She says something about, "Why are you talking to me?" And he said, "You know, if you knew the person who was asking you for water, you would have asked him for water." And she basically says, "What are you talking about? What kind of water are you talking about?" And so he begins to explain to her a little bit about the water that he's talking about. You know, you can read through this whole story, and I don't know if we're just missing this piece of the puzzle or if it never happened, but Jesus doesn't drink a drop of water in this context. That's what he's there for. He's there at the well to refresh himself. But all of a sudden, he doesn't need water anymore. This woman comes to get some water, apparently to take back to her house for whatever reason, whatever she was going to use it for. She also needs water, but if you read through the context, she left it there. She didn't even take it with her when she went back to tell the people what was going on. She leaves it there and goes and tells others. Now, does that mean that Jesus didn't drink? Could he have said, "Well, she left the water there and I am thirsty, let me grab"? Of course he could have. But I guess the main point is, even though he stopped because he was thirsty and he was tired, nothing is said about him drinking the water, because it becomes less important as you move through the progression. She goes and she tells others. Now, what I want to spend the rest of the time on are just two things that I think we can pull out of this as to the reason why Jesus says, "Listen, you're missing the fields." Again, remember, this is about the disciples. So he's telling them they're missing something altogether. And I believe there are at least two reasons for that. Number one, their mind is on the physical rather than the spiritual. As we noted earlier, they do stop for a reason. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That's why they stopped. That was the reason. In John chapter 4 and verse 8, we see where the disciples are as Jesus is sitting by the well. His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. They're hungry, They're tired and they're thirsty. It's the reason that they stopped. But Jesus sees an opportunity for a different kind of refreshment. Again, if you remember, as Mark was going through his study of the Holy Spirit, there's a connection there, right? Of that Holy Spirit with refreshing, refreshment. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that said to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." So He sees an opportunity here, looking at this woman's physical need of having something to drink, having water. He says, "I'm going to turn this around spiritually and make a point here." And here's the great news. The woman actually gets it. She seems to get it. Now, does she understand everything? No. But she does seem to get it. I want you to notice with me verses 28 through 30 of John chapter 4. We mentioned this earlier. So the woman left her water pot. She went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to Him. She gets it, right? Her purpose has now changed. The reason that she went was to get water. She left that water pot, that bucket there, so she could go back for her different purpose. Her first intention was to bring the water back. But she said, "Who cares about this water? This man is offering me a different kind of water. A different kind of refreshment. A spiritual refreshment. And I want to go tell other people about it." So that's what she does. You know, you can go about 2 or 3 days without water. But also, scientists tell us that we can probably go around 30 to 40 days without food. I can't go 30 to 40 minutes sometimes without food. Braden's even worse. Kid is constantly hungry. So seeing something like this, we go, "Whoa, wait a minute. We can't go that long. 30 or 40 days without food. 2 to 3 days without water. What's more important? What's more important?" But even more important than that is the spiritual food that Jesus is trying to offer. The spiritual refreshment. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3, "He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Even more important than water, even more important than food, is the spiritual nourishment we get from God. Moses is telling the children of Israel that. Said it's the reason that He gave you manna. So that you would understand that you're not sustained by food alone. By water alone. We're sustained by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. This woman gets it. She understands. She leaves the water pot behind to go and tell others about Jesus. She may not get it 100%, but she gets it in this moment. The disciples, however, don't get it. You ever come across someone that you just shake your head and say, "They just don't get it, do they?" It's the disciples right now. They just don't get it. John chapter 4. Verses 31 through 34. "Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Him, saying, 'Rabbi, eat.' But He said to them, 'I have food to eat that you do not know about.'" Now, this is not, Tony's stash of food that he has downstairs that nobody else knows about, that only he knows about and he can get to whenever he wants. That's not what he's talking about here. He doesn't have a cheeseburger in his pocket. Right? He didn't have somebody else go and get him food and he ate to trick the disciples for when they came back. He's talking about something else. So the disciples were saying to one another, "No one brought Him anything to eat, did he? Hey, did you bring Him something? Because I thought we went in to get food And we came back and we're telling him to eat and he's not eating. He's hungry. We know he's hungry. That's why we stopped. It's the reason we stopped. But now Jesus' purpose has changed. Now he's uplifted because he's having a spiritual conversation with this woman and she gets it. She's bringing other people back. And I believe he's saying, I want to concentrate on what I'm going to tell these folks when they get back. What I want to talk to these folks about. But his disciples don't get it. Well, did you feed him? Did you give him something to eat? Did you have food that you didn't tell us about that you gave to Jesus? That's where their mind is. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." His focus had changed. Their focus was on the physical. What about us? Again, it's like me at the refrigerator. It's there. The food's there. I'm just looking for something else. The food is there for them to see. They're just looking for something else. Their mind is so on the physical part of life, giving him physical food, that they're missing the spiritual harvest that's out there that could sustain them even more than the physical food could. How often do we miss it? How often do we let opportunities go by to have that spiritual conversation, to fill ourselves spiritually? How often do we let that go by because of the physical things of this life? I believe they have trouble focusing in on the spiritual because they're dealing with Jews versus the Samaritan. Again, there's always a reason why Jesus is doing something. He says again in verses 3 and 4 that he had to, verse 4 specifically, had to pass through Samaria. I'm telling you, the others would have avoided it probably at all costs. If they had designed where they went, they would have gone around Samaria. In John chapter 4, starting in verse 7, "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.'" John feels the need to include this in his message to us. Jews don't deal with Samaritans. We wouldn't have even been here if it weren't for Jesus. We would have gone the other way. The normal route, the long way, just to avoid them. Jesus wants her to know that God loves the Samaritans too. In John chapter 4, starting in verse 20, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." That was the woman speaking. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Much of the Jews, as we'll talk about tonight, much of the Jews' views all had to do with the temple. That's where their worship took place. That's where they, you know, offered sacrifices. That's where a lot of things happened. It was at the temple. And so that became a very special place to them. The Samaritans know it. And said, "Oh, you say you should worship in Jerusalem." And Jesus says, "No, I want you to know that you can worship God right here. Right here. Right where you are. You don't have to go anywhere to worship God." God loves the Samaritans too. If you look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, again, Luke says, "He was saying to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I think there's a reason that Jesus reminds them of this in John chapter 4. Because right now, Jesus is the only one working. We tease you, I hope nobody works for the state. We used to tease people in Ohio. You would see one guy just getting it, right? He's working his shovel, and there's eight other people standing around him leaning on shovels or, you know, taking a break. It just seemed that that worked out that way all the time. That's how I picture Jesus right here. He's working, right? He's getting it. And the disciples are just sitting around him staring and watching. They don't get it. Why? Partially because she's a Samaritan woman. Why would we even talk to her, let alone teach her anything? So not only he's trying to teach her that God loves the Samaritans too, but Jesus is trying to teach his disciples the same lesson. Hey, God loves the Samaritans too. Let's start in verse 34 of John chapter 4. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all things that I have done. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them." Remember, the Jews had already kicked him out. That's why he was going through the Samaritans, why he was going through that way to Galilee. They're begging him to stay. And he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." That's the way it's supposed to work. So not only is Jesus working, but now he has the woman working. The disciples are sitting around like bums at this point. They're not doing anything. They're not working. They didn't even see the harvest. Hence the title, Fields? What fields? What are you talking about? We're in Sychar, it's the city of the Samaritans. What fields could you even possibly be talking about? And Jesus shows them, teaches them, hey, it's for them too, just like it was for you. The disciples are standing there surprised that he was even talking to her. Here's the lesson for us. Who are the Samaritans in my life who need the gospel message? Open your eyes and look. Because they're all around. But how many times do we, like Jesus' disciples here, say, it's not that person, it's not that, it can't be these people, can't be the folks at work, can't be the folks at school. I'm looking for something specific. It's for everybody. Who would have thought this adulterous woman would have been a candidate for the gospel message of Christ? Jesus thought it. And not only did she come to that gospel message, but she brought others with her. Hey, you got to come hear this. You have to come see this guy. And here the disciples stand surprised that he's even talking to this woman. And she's doing all the work. In verse 9 of John chapter 4, again, the Samaritan Therefore, the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman?" Notice again, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Who is it that you have no dealings with who might need the gospel message, the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ. We ask ourselves this morning, what food is it that you're seeking? Again, just get the picture of Tony standing at the refrigerator looking at all these vegetables that are in there, that are food, that are good to eat, going, I can't find anything to eat. We got nothing. You know, who sits down and eats broccoli watching a football game? Nobody in their right mind, right? We eat chips and real pizza, real stuff when we do that. So when we open the door and we look, we're not finding what we're looking for because we're looking for something specific. Jesus says, open your eyes. I think that's what we do a lot of times with the world. We look out and go, yeah, there's people out there, but it's not the kind of people we're looking for, not the kind of people that we want to be a part of our congregation. Jesus says that, no, that's them. That's who we need. Talk to them. Bring them in. Who are we looking for? What is it that sustains us? What is it that satisfies us? Can we truly say that our food is to do the will of the Father who sent us? What type of harvest are we looking for? My suggestion for you today is don't miss the fields. They're out there. And a lot of times they all look the same. And they don't look like fields to us, ready for harvest. But God says, no, that's them. They're ready. They just need you to point them in the right direction. Jesus stops here to get actively involved in the work. Yes, he was on his way to Galilee. Yes, that's where the Jews were. Yes, that was his destination, where he was headed. But he purposefully stops in the city of Samaria and spends 2 days with these folks and leads many people to God. Don't let your destination stop you from seeing the fields that are right, white for harvest. So many times we have a destination, we have something in our mind that this is where we're trying to go, this is where we're trying to get to. And so I'm not going to let anything stop me from getting from point A to point B. When God says, look at the fields along the way. How many times have we been on a vacation where we have a destination, but yet we find something? So, oh, I would like to see that. I would like to stop there. And Dad, who's driving the car, said, nope. Right? We got to get to our destination. And so what we have to do is make that a destination later. Right? We're planning on doing this now, so we can't stop. But maybe next time, we'll make that our destination. And I wonder how often we do that with the fields of harvest. Where we say, not now. I've got a destination. I'm on my way. But maybe later I'll make that a destination, and it never happens. If you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, that is one destination you need to get to. It's that important. Jesus teaches us over and over how important that is to get to that point where we are a son or daughter of God. We can baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ this very day. If you're here and you are a child of God who has fallen away, there's time and opportunity for you to come back. Maybe you've missed some harvest that you want to start focusing on now. There's time and opportunity to make that right with your God this very morning. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.